Good morning. This is not my comfort zone this morning. It's very far from it, but I feel very inspired to bring a message from the Lord this morning.
I ask that you pray for me. I have a heavy burden this morning. Some things that the Lord has been recently teaching to me, and I'd like to share them with you by the help of the Lord this morning. I earnestly desire your prayers. Let's go to John 13 and verse 34. Got a lot of reading to do this morning. Ask y'all to bear with me. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I want us to take note of this 35th verse here. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." That means that it's something that we as humans cannot manufacture or imitate. We can do all the outward stuff. We can dress like we're supposed to, like we feel like is right. We can do all the right things. We can hold our tongue. We can control ourselves. But that is all. We can't imitate love. We can't manufacture love. And that is the criteria by which all men are going to know that we are the disciples of Christ, if we have love one for another. And that's my burden this morning. There are several aspects to this love, but the one I want to focus in on, zero in on this morning, is love for the brethren. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and love chapter. Probably familiar with most of these verses. And go to the 13th verse. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." You know, love is the adhesive that joins God's people together and makes us strong. Have you thought about somebody who may have faith, somebody may have hope, but you know, if we do those things, if we try to serve God all by ourselves, it makes us hard to stand. The devil wants to divide and conquer this morning. You know, when I was a child, we would play a game called Red Rover. And we'd all stand with our hands locked together. And the tighter you held the person's hand, the more chance you had of being successful in the game. And then somebody would come and try to run and break through those ranks. And sometimes if you were able to hold somebody's hand, it might hurt. You're holding so tight. But if you were holding tight enough, the person wasn't able to break through. You know, I feel like this morning this is something that we all need to get a hold of, is that we need to have love one for another, for our brethren. I believe there's a reason why Paul said that the greatest of these things is love. It's so vitally important. We can have faith, we can have hope, but if we don't have the love in our life, you know it's going to be very hard for us to make it. It's going to be hard for God's church to be successful. It's going to be hard for us to reach those out in the world. "By this shall all men know you are my disciples." It's the very crux of the gospel this morning. I want to go to Colossians 2 and verse 1. Let's pray for us this morning. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And this is my thought this morning, being knit together. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, there's a difference. It says your hearts being knit together. You can't do that with an unbeliever. Because with an unbeliever, what happens is God wants us to love all men, right? So when it's one direction, I can love those that are on the outside, and I do, but it's all one direction. I have cord, if you can imagine a cord tying me to somebody else, binds me to somebody else. When it's a believer to a believer, there's cords running both directions. What's the song say in number 9? 1,000 cords, our hearts entwine forever and forever. I work in carpentry, and when I want to make a really good solid connection between two boards, I'll drive a whole bunch of screws through on this side, and then I'll go to the other side and I'll drive a whole bunch of screws through the other side, and I'll put them in different angles. And if you do it right, you can make it so strong, you'll break the board before you get those two to separate. This is the thought I want to get a hold of this morning, how important it is that our hearts be knit together in love. You know, I'll just read this third verse here of number 9. In fact, maybe we could sing that. Could we sing the third verse of number 9? I believe the Lord inspired those words this morning. The devil wants nothing more. The devil likes nothing better than for us to be isolated from one another. You know, the devil's a divider. He wants to divide and conquer. We are stronger together. I want to go to Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Verse 12, it says, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Thank you. I pray that the Lord will help me to get the burden out like I feel it in my heart this morning. You know, we all need each other, and we all are good at different things. And by that, what I mean is that God has given, it says that unto every one of us, God has given gifts. He didn't say unto most of us, God has given gifts, unto every one of us. And so when we are in fellowship with God, we're in fellowship with each other. And the Lord designed us to profit off of each other's strengths, off of each other's gifts. When we don't take advantage of that, we live an imbalanced existence. There are things that we'll never learn. None of us are going to have it all. God made it that way, and none of us are going to have nothing. God made it that way too. No matter how insignificant you feel like you are this morning, I want you to know that you have value, not just of what you can do in the flesh, but of the things that God gave you this morning. God gave you something this morning. I don't know what it is. Maybe you don't either right now. But the Lord will show you. It's something that's not just going to profit yourself. Somebody else is going to need that. Somebody else is going to benefit from what God gave you this morning. I want to look at 1 Samuel. I'm kind of laying a foundation here. 1 Samuel 18, first verse. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. You know, I want us to look to notice that word covenant this morning. There have been in many places in the Bible that word mentioned. People would come together and they would make a covenant. And what that means is, I've got your back. Whatever you're going through, if you fall, I'm going to help you up. And if somebody comes against you, they better be willing to face more than one because I'm going to be right there to help you. I think about Philip II in ancient history. He lived around 300 or 400 years before Christ. He was the father of Alexander the Great, whom we know conquered almost all of the known world at the time. And he developed a technique called the phalanx. And that was where the soldiers would stand in a small tight bunch with all their spears pointing outward, even behind them. And they would advance that way. You know, today the devil likes nothing better than to sneak up behind an individual that's got himself isolated off from the rest of the group and come and hit him at his weakest point. What's my weakest point might be your strongest point. Did you know whenever we're together, whenever our souls are knit together, you ever think about the word knit and why the Bible doesn't say, won't y'all be tied to one another? Those cords, they twine, they intertwine and they go through and ropes. Think about the way ropes are made. I'm a pretty literal person. I look at these things and look at the way the words are written here. The soul was knit with the soul of Jonathan. The soul of David was knit with the soul of Jonathan. They have the same goal. Philip's men had the same goal. They were there to take out the enemy. They didn't have any other goal in mind. They weren't all trying to see who was going to get the biggest part of the meal and how they were going to take care of themselves, but they were all bunched up together. Sometimes it can be a little close and a little uncomfortable, and we have to make sacrifices, sometimes big ones. But you know, we have a goal this morning, and the devil is a very formidable foe. Sometimes I don't think we take him seriously. Do you know the devil is more faithful in church than any of us are? He knows your weaknesses. He comes and sits right here among us. And he wants to capture whoever he can. You know, I want to go to 1 John 1. So read several verses in 1 John here this morning. 1 John 1, the fifth verse. This then is the message that we have heard of him. We declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that's the first point I want to establish, is that if we want to be knit together, we're going to have to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We're going to have to be in tune with his voice. We're going to have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that brings us to another point. If you've done that, I might not know you. You might not be in the group that I grew up in. You might not be somebody that I'm acquainted with, but if you know Jesus and I know Jesus, we're automatically in fellowship. And we ought to recognize that, and we ought to take advantage of that. It's not a duty. Oh, you know, I have to. Do you know it's a... We're part of the greatest network of believers, people. We have people that we can pray for and that can pray for us. We don't know who they are all the time. Every blood-washed one is in fellowship with us this morning. I want to go to chapter 2 and 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. These verses are so powerful. There is none occasion of stumbling. If you love your brother, you're abiding in the light. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I want to go to the third chapter and verse 14. We're going to read several scriptures here, one right after the other, and just want to kind of lay down the idea here this morning. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. You know, what God wants us to do this morning is not anything that he hasn't already done before. God is not an unreasonable and an unjust God. I find that in every facet of life, what God expects us to do is a perfectly reasonable, just thing to do. He expects us to believe in him. But did you know he put so much evidence for us to do that? He doesn't expect us to believe in him when we don't see anything. But there, look at everything that he's put here. Look at nature. Think about all the things that he's put in the world. His fingerprints are all over the place. You know, with all that he's done for us, we think about hell and how it seems so harsh and so hard. But you know, it's a just thing for the... It is so reasonable, it's so right to follow the Lord, to make that choice. And it is so reasonable and so right that hell is the only thing that is just enough to punish us if we don't do that. Because God has gone to the greatest length that he can for a stopping short of forcing us to serve him, because he's not going to do that. And because he's gone to those lengths, he expects us to give our lives to him. And because he laid down his life for us, what does it say? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want to go to John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, didn't it say in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jesus himself said that the second commandment is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you know this goes far beyond that? They didn't have anything like this in the Old Testament, and God didn't require it because it had never been done. God laid down his life for us. And this, why does it say this is a new commandment? That you love one another. Didn't it say to love one another in the Old Testament? Yes, it did. But listen to the following verses here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The reason this is a new commandment this morning is because instead of just saying love your neighbor as yourself, we're supposed to love our brethren more than ourselves. That means that we, up to the point of laying down our life for somebody, and I don't think that this is always talking about just physically laying down our life for somebody. Sometimes we have to give up things. Sometimes we have to lay down things are our life. We have careers, we have things that we want to do in life. And did you know we have to give those up sometimes for somebody else? Not just for God, but for somebody else. You know, our children, in a spiritual sense, are our brethren, our brothers and sisters. We want our children to know God, don't we? We want our children to grow up to understand the blessings of God. Did you know sometimes I think that we, and I don't want to get into the subject of child training because my children are young. I haven't been there yet, and so I'm not going to try to say how to do it. But I believe that it's a very important part of our lives. It's something that the Lord gave us. And not only that, but what about the people in our community, the people that are our neighbors? Did you know we're not an island this morning? We can't just live to ourselves. But the Lord said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What are we laying down? Are we laying down the things that would get in the way of us being able to help those people that we need to help? What about somebody that is about to, what if we perceive that they're in trouble spiritually? Do you know we have a duty? Do you know they're still our brethren? Do you know that there's still cords that bind us to them? We're in a time in the world where much love is needed. They have in the world today what's called tolerance. And I want to tell you this morning, it's not love. Tolerance and love are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Let me tell you why. Because part of what love is, if I love you, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be blessed by God. I want you to have the blessings of God in your life. I don't want you to be lost forever. If somebody's in a train track and they're laying there taking a nap and I know that there's a train scheduled to come in 10 minutes, is it love for me to pat them on the back and say, boy, you look like you're enjoying yourself and move on down the road? No. Sometimes love means that the Spirit of the Lord is going to have us to help that person get out of the place they're in love. Sometimes we have to tell them, you're in a bad place. Sometimes we have to tell them, I'm afraid you're going to be lost. We don't want to take that opportunity. We don't want to use that as an excuse to be carnal. But I want to tell you that there's sometimes that the Spirit of the Lord is going to direct us to say things that may seem unpleasant. In Matthew 24, it said, we're not going to turn there, but it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I think that there's a danger of that happening this morning. And if we lose that, we've lost everything we have. I want to ask a question. You don't have to answer. Just think about it. If somebody came up to you and said, I'll give you $20 if you will break your friendship with so-and-so. I'll give you $100. I'd say pretty much every one of you would say no, right? But the actions that we take sometimes and the things that we do, sometimes I wonder how cheaply we sell ourselves and how cheaply we let things get in the way of the fellowship that binds us together. How little it takes to do that. Sometimes I marvel. Get a little burr under our saddle. Where's the fellowship? Where's the bonds? Where's the being knit together? Did you know that God desires us to be as close as we possibly can and the devil wants exactly the opposite? Did you know when you let that thing cut the bonds and you distance yourself from somebody else that's a child of God, that the devil is just as happy as he can be? Why would we want that? I want to talk a little bit about things that divide. Try to be real careful here. Some of these things are a little bit sensitive. Politics. Politics is something that divides, isn't it? I'm not going to get political up here this morning. But I want to tell you that it's a very powerful tool in the hand of the devil. Lord, help me here. In our country, we have predominantly a two-party system. Neither party is a shining example of the truth. Sometimes I feel like, and I don't know how it is, I haven't studied the political systems in the world, but I want to say something else. Any constitution, any set of rules is not on the same level as the Word of God. I love the freedoms that we have here. I love the ones that have gone before. I love to read history. But we can't let those things get in the way of our fellowship with those that love God. I want to say this morning. Please understand what I'm saying. I have people that I have confidence in that are all over the political spectrum. I'm not trying to teach that everything's relative. What I'm saying is that we can let those things divide us. And there are sometimes, I said a minute ago, that those things that we stand for in politics, no matter how important we think they are, they're not as important as the Word of God. And so sometimes I think that we can get on opposite sides of a system. We can say, well, I think we need to do our economics this way, and I think we need to do our economics this way, and I think we need to solve this social problem by doing this and by doing that. I'm not saying that there's no better way to do this or that. But political correctness, or that's the wrong term. Political standings are not necessarily an indicator of somebody's spiritual condition. And I'll leave that there. We get so entrenched sometimes on one side or another. And I just want us to think about, I think that, I'll say this and be very careful here. The devil loves social media. The devil loves social media. I have social media. I have a Facebook account. But I want to tell you, we need to be so very careful with the things that we post, the things that we stir up. You know, I want us to ask ourselves this morning, if the things that we're entrenched in, the beliefs that we hold politically, many different, I'm picking on the politics this morning, but there are other things that we can get on a bandwagon about. If we get so entrenched in those, and we're always hashing it out with other people, and we're generating contention, I want to ask you how you feel when you see those people at Monarch. I want to ask you, what kind of feelings does it generate in you? Do you feel those bonds of fellowship? The devil wants those things to drive a wedge between us. I think he's using it for everything he's got. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. I believe that there are things. I'm not telling you can't vote. I'm not telling you. But don't let it get in the way of the bonds that the Lord wants to create between us. Other things that divide. Cultures. Difference between cultures. Did you know that we have different ways that we do things that are not necessarily right or wrong? And sometimes we can let those things, we can look at those things and we can, difference between genders, difference between cultures, difference between even colors and nationalities and things like that. Financial differences. You know, the Lord wants us all to be bound together. I heard somebody say a while back, personalities. I heard somebody say a while back, if we're judged by our personalities, we're all in trouble. We all have these idiosyncrasies about us. And we have things. I want to give an analogy this morning. I'm not a mechanic, but I thought of this. We have engines in our cars. And somebody can probably stand up here and explain this better than I can. But did you know you can build an engine and you can say, I want to machine these parts to such exact tolerances that there won't be any friction. Can you do it? You can't do it, can you? There are microscopic friction points in that steel. And when that rubs on each other, it gives off heat, doesn't it? How far do you think your car could make it if you drained all the oil out of it? The analogy here is that that oil is the love that we're supposed to have for one another. We're all going to have things that have that are going to rub each other a little bit wrong. We're not going to arrive, no matter how full of the Holy Ghost we get, we're not going to arrive at this utopia where everything... where everything's just perfect and we do everything perfect and we don't say anything that offends anybody ever. Did you know, I want to go to 1 Peter 4 and 8. No matter how closely you machine two pieces of metal, if you say, I want to get them perfect, exact, totally smooth, you rub those together long enough, just the two pieces, and you're going to have a lot of heat. You're going to have friction. You can't make it where there's no friction. But you get that oil in there. I've taken vehicles to over 300,000 miles on the same engine. But I kept the oil properly maintained. And that's what we're going to have to do too. That oil's going to have to be there. That love is going to have to be there. Lord, help me to do this. And above all things, 1 Peter 4 and 8, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Those things that we find that kind of rub us the wrong way. That get under our skin a little bit. The things that can cause us to sever those bonds. We have that love there. And it's going to fix the problem. I want us to think of another analogy this morning. What happens if you take a hammer and you hit a rock hard enough to split that rock? I've taken a rock before and split it. I used to do this all the time when I was a kid. I'd bust open rocks to see what was inside. In Kentucky, we have these geodes. You bust it open and there's crystals inside. It's really pretty. But I would take a hammer and I would bust it open and a lot of times, sometimes it'd break into a lot of pieces. A lot of times there'd be two pieces. And you could fit those two pieces perfectly together. But there was nothing holding them together. You could just take them and pull them apart after it was busted. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. I want us to compare us to what the Lord wants us to be like. You ever taken a hammer and hit a piece of sod? What does sod have in it? It's dirt, right? There's a lot of dirt, but what else does it have? It's got roots that run all through it, right? And you can pull that apart. You can pull that into multiple pieces if you want to. But there's going to be a rending and a tearing. There's going to be, and that's the way it ought to be with us this morning. That rock, what happens is that the jolt causes those pieces of the rocks to have shock to them. And when those rock, there's no flex, there's no give, there's nothing. And when that rock gets just a little bit flexed, it splits. And then there, after that, they can still fit together, but there's nothing left to hold it. There's nothing to keep it from drifting apart. That soil, you can break, you can hit it, but you're going to have to really do some work. You know, when I dig a hole, The very first thing I tried to do is get all that soil out of the way. I cut it with a shovel because that's the hardest part of it. And then after that, the dirt comes out fine. But when those roots are running together, I want us to think about ourselves. And I want to read a verse in 1 Kings to help us to understand what type of mind we should have. This doesn't directly pertain to the thought here, but to the example. I want us to draw something from this. 1 Kings 3 and 26. It's talking about the wisdom of Solomon and what they did when they brought a baby to him that was contested by two women. Then spake the woman. Okay, so there's two women, right? And one of them, both of them came to the king and they said, "We live in the same house and we both had a baby at about the same time. And this other woman accidentally slept, laid on her baby, and it suffocated. And so she swapped mine for hers." And then the other one said, "No, that's a lie. It happened just like that, except that you were the one that did it instead of me." And so Solomon said, "Get a sword, and we're going to find out." Well, he didn't say that. He said, "Bring a sword." And he said, "Cut the baby in half, give half of it to this lady and half of it to the other lady. And then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, 'Oh my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it.' But the other one said, 'Let it be neither mine or thine, but divide it.'" I want us to draw from this the difference between how our minds should be and how they should not be. You know, there's people here this morning, not everyone sitting under the tabernacle, and not everyone that we fellowship in is in a perfect place this morning. There are people that are weak. There are people that are falling, in the active process of falling away. We don't want that to happen, do we? You know, I believe just like that soil with the roots running through it, I believe that there have been times where there have been people that have been kept from falling away by that one factor. That people said, "No, I'm going to chase after you." What's the scripture say? If somebody be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You know, it's not enough for us to say, "Well, this person, they made a choice. They made a choice. They're leaving. They're doing this. They're falling away. And we don't talk to them anymore. And we don't care about them anymore." Did you know the Lord wants restoration? It's a big part of the gospel this morning. It's not all about just getting saved and then whoever can hold to the end. It's about restoration. There are people that are falling away. There are people that are falling away. And there are people that are in danger of falling away. And I think that this morning that we need to recognize that we have something very valuable. We have those roots. We have those bonds, those cords that bind me to them. If they break the cords from them to me, I'm not going to break the cords from me to them. It goes both ways. We're knit together in love this morning. There's a time to break fellowship. But if our hearts were knit together, it will be hard to do. In Ephesians 5, it says to walk in love. That means that in everything I do, I heard this morning, or I hope it's all right to say this. They read this at Brother Delmer Wilkins' funeral. But they found a paper in his Bible that said, "If it doesn't start with love, it's not worth saying," or something like that. I can't remember the exact words. But sometimes we can get in our head, this is what needs to be said, and I'm going to say it. Did you know the point this morning is for everybody to get to heaven? And if what I say is going, if it's not led by the Spirit, there's a good chance that it's going to drive somebody farther away from where they already were. We can throw the stones and we can cast the arrows. And sometimes the Lord's going to lead us to do that. But a lot of times I feel like that it's done in error. And Lord, help, I've done it many times myself. I want to talk about people that are weak. Go to Romans 14. It says, him that is weak in the faith, first verse, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What does that mean? It means that we ought to have the same bonds toward them as we do with somebody that's been saved for 50 years. They might not understand everything we understand. You know, we're all on a spiritual ladder. We're going to heaven. We're all at different places. That doesn't mean that I'm better than you, that I have more value than you. We all have the same value to God, but we're all at different levels in understanding. I want to go to Matthew 23, and we'll read a few verses there, and then I want to come back to Romans 14. Matthew 23 and verse 8. It says, be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Does that mean that we're all at exactly the same place and we have exactly the same understanding and that nobody can... You know, I believe in scriptural, in biblical authority and that. I'm not trying to take away from that. It says, all ye are brethren. All of you are knit together in love. Call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You know, I think it's very important this morning that we get a hold of this, that our brethren are valuable, and we don't want to offend and cause to stumble. Let's go back to Romans 14 and read verse 13. Says, let us not judge, therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. In the 19th verse, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. In the 21st verse, it says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. You know these verses mean something? You know the verses here teach us that the people that are weak, we can look at them and say, well, I hope they make the right choice. But you know, we have a part in this too. You know, God gave us a part in this. God didn't put some sort of great big physical shrine for us to come and we're going to get all the help and all the everything that we need. Our brethren are those that are going to help us along. They're one of the things. We get our encouragement from the Lord, but we get encouragement from each other. And you know, sometimes I think that we devalue the concept of not offending our weak brethren. And by weak, I mean the people that don't understand things. People that believe, maybe just don't have the full understanding that they ought to have on this or on that. You know, we that have understanding about something and somebody doesn't, we know that God will lead them to that. But you know, it's not necessarily up to us to try to bring that person up to par. I thought of another analogy here. You know, my wife bakes bread every now and then. And when she's baking it, the smell just fills the house. It's a wonderful thing. when it's done and it's out of the oven, I can cut it with a knife and I can eat it. But while it's baking, you know, we be careful while it's baking. We walk around. We don't let our kids jump. We don't live on a concrete slab. And it was the same thing when I was a boy. Mom liked us to play outside. Then that bread needs some attention, doesn't it? It needs some care. It's gonna get there. It's gonna be done. It's going to be at a place where it's fully mature and it can serve. But while it's getting there, what do you think would happen if I came in the house and slammed the door and I said, "Honey, your bread fell. I guess it just didn't make it." It wouldn't be a good thing. You know, she wouldn't be happy, but then we'd have to throw the bread away. You know, we have a part in what our brethren and sisters do. I want to say this. Since we're all on spiritual ladders in different places, we don't know where everyone else is. We may think we do, but we don't. We all have cultural things that have impacted us. We've all been raised differently. We have things, thought processes that the Lord wants to weed out of us. And sometimes we can look at somebody, and I'm not trying to take away from the discernment that the Holy Spirit can give. But sometimes we can look at somebody and we can say they need to measure up in this and this and this. I want to tell you a story. A few years ago, there was something that I've always been brought up. This is right. This is right. But I didn't understand it. 2 years ago at Monarch, I heard a message about something totally unrelated. And I took that message and I pondered it, and it taught me things that I'd never known before. Several days later, someone else preached a message. And in that message, all of a sudden something clicked, and I said, "Oh, that's why. That's how this works. I understand it now." Do you know, if I would have never heard the first message, I wouldn't have been able to understand the second. Sometimes I think we can go to somebody and we say, "All right, this is how it is." But if they don't have, the Lord knows exactly what everyone needs to come to the understanding. We want people to have understanding and wisdom, don't we? The Lord Himself wants people to have wisdom and understanding and not just follow things blindly or because somebody said to. We want to have understanding this morning, and we want our brothers and sisters to have understanding. And sometimes if we come out of the order of the Lord and we say, "This is what we believe," they might not get it at all. So let's just prayerfully consider that this morning. I want to cover a couple more things. I'm almost finished. The devil loves it when we cut the bonds. I want us to think about each other's reputation. You know, I asked the question a while ago, if somebody gave you $20, there's a reason why I didn't say, if somebody said, "I'll give you $50,000 or $1 million, if you will drag somebody in the dirt that you love." And the reason I named the $20 figure is because I wanted to bring it as close to home as possible. $20 isn't a lot of money. But you know, sometimes we can hear a story about somebody and then we can repeat it without even substantiating whether it's true or not. We can tarnish somebody's reputation. Children absorb things like sponges. They can hear what we say, and then there can be a question in their mind forever about this individual or that individual. Let's be careful what we say in front of our children. Let's be careful what we say in front of our friends. Do you know, ministers have a job of teaching the Word of God, and If we tarnish a minister's name, then whenever they get up to try to bring the word of the Lord, there's going to be questions in your children's minds, in your friend's mind. The devil's work is hindered. You know, sometimes I think it'd be better, take that $20 bill and say, I'll give you $20 if you won't say that. You know, there's a lot of things that can be left unsaid this morning. It is so important for us to guard each other's reputation. Just take that and consider, prayerfully consider that. If we are knit together in love, we're not going to want to do anything that damages our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us all here. I want to read one more scripture in closing. Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, moreover, these are some really good instructions for our brothers, because sometimes there's going to be things that crop up and we're going to have to deal with them. It's human. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. There's a big difference between that and saying, going and telling your family, you know, we need to pray for this person. He needs prayer. We need to pray for him. He did this. Most of the time, that's an excuse to say what we want to say. It is appealing to the flesh to gossip and slander. And because we have that realization, we need to be on guard against it. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. You know, these are some really profitable instructions for us. It is so important to the Lord for us to not to be divided. What's the song say? Oh, write thy law of love within me till my soul shall be. By bonds no storm can ever break, united to thy flock and to thee. I hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning. You pray for me. Maybe we could sing number 237.